Radio Sports Beat. I'm Dario.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
From the president, Lisa Brady, Fox News. He's still calling it a hoax and a witch hunt as House Democrats release more transcripts in the impeachment probe.
And they've gone out of their way to find the people that hate Donald Trump, President Trump, the most. They put them up there. Everybody's been absolutely fine. And they have, you know, I don't even know most of these people.
The testimony released today from National Security Council member Alexander Vindman shows his concern about the phone call he heard between President Trump and Ukraine's president. And former White House aide Fiona Hill raised alarm about apparent back-channel efforts to get Ukraine to investigate corruption, including the Bidens. Also expressing concern about the removal of Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch. Hill telling lawmakers that then National Security Advisor John Bolton called Rudy Giuliani a hand grenade that was going to blow everybody up. Meantime, the president accusing Democrats of forgetting about African Americans.
If you don't want your jobs going overseas, if you don't want your children...
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
We're going to hear from him at 4:30. Austin Berkland is here.
That's right.
In your orange sweatshirt. I like that.
I was at Dunkin' Donuts this morning.
Yeah.
Tried the Beyond Sausage sandwich, which was absolutely really good.
I heard it tasted
exactly like pork sausage.
That's what Stevie J, I heard Stevie J said that. I heard Jay Layman. Does he always just have constant energy?
Oh, my gosh.
Is there ever a time where he, like, all of a sudden he yawns?
He was Mr. Salesman the entire time, getting people to taste test these sandwiches. Like, he went up to people and acted like they were his best friend from years ago.
I think people just love Jay Layman.
I agree.
They love Jay Layman. So
the best part was he wore a Dunkin' Donuts visor.
That is awesome. Isaac Trotter here as well. How are you, Isaac?
Doing well. Good to have round two with this.
Yeah.
Yesterday, got a little get ready for
boom.
It. It's like a little pregame show. Now today's the real deal. Huh?
I wore a Cardinals hoodie just for you.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. And listen, we got Trev's ticket coming up later.
Yeah?
I might have a bet that you might like this
weekend. Oh, really?
With a certain other Cardinal team.
I got you. Playing the Buccaneers and Bruce Arians. A little reunion for Larry Fitzgerald and Bruce. All right, we got Derek Piper joining us from Arizona about 4:30 today. Our old friend Mike Carpenter is going to swing in at 5:30. Mike, of course, from the 200 level. I'm going to be recording part of the 200 level, I think, this week as well on Monday. It's a big weekend. Carp, by the way, coming by at 5:30, so good to see him, and we'll just kind of get his take on this Fighting Illini football team and basketball. There's a game tonight. It's basketball. What a weekend for Illinois. You have an Illini game every day this weekend. You've got an Illini basketball game tonight against Grand Canyon at 8 o'clock. You can watch that locally on Channel 49. Then you have the Illinois football game tomorrow at East Lansing against Michigan State, 2:30 kick. That is on Fox Sports 1. And then Sunday night, what time is the Arizona-Illinois game Sunday night?
I'll look that up, but
okay.
It is on Pac-12 Network, which DirecTV and Pac-12 are at a carriage rights battlefield right now.
I found that out.
You've got to find a stream. Like, maybe this is the perfect opportunity for you to try a online streaming service. Try that 7-day free trial. Find one that has Pac-12 Network and download it onto your smart TV.
Why are you staring at me with the "this would be a perfect time for you to try streaming"?
Sunday's game is at 8 o'clock.
How about a bar?
Bars might not have it.
Oh, that's
you never
right.
know. If they have DirecTV, then you're not going to be able to watch it at a bar.
If I were a bar right now in Champaign-Urbana, I'm throwing out advertisement left and right that we've got the Arizona-Illinois game.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Tweet it out. Facebook it out if you are a
even tonight's
bar
game,
owner.
It would be a good one, too, to have that one out there, too, because not a lot of people might have Channel 49 around this area.
Good call. If you don't, you can also watch it on YouTube. Yes. They have the stream on YouTube as well. Okay.
And they also will have it on ESPN3.com that you can see.
Oh, my. Okay, so for all the young people out there, you're in good shape. Friday, you're not a bad idea, Isaac, because Friday night probably more conducive to sitting in a bar than Sunday night, because a lot of us have to work Monday morning, although a lot of people do work Saturday mornings as well, so I get that. All right, so it could be a big weekend for Illinois. Before we get nitty-gritty on everything, how many wins of the combined three does Illinois get this weekend?
I think two is the easy answer, so I'll probably stick with that just to stay safe. I think Illinois basketball takes care of business tonight against Grand Canyon. I think Illinois football wins tomorrow. I'm sticking with that one. And so then I think Illinois basketball against Arizona on Sunday could be tough. I think I'm really concerned about what I saw from Illinois basketball defensively and how that translates against a really good Arizona team. But again, that Arizona team might be a little bit down. We're not really sure what to see from them. They're very young. So I'll just go 2-1 just to be safe and optimistic. How about that?
Austin?
Yeah, I'm going 2-1 as well. I think they win against Michigan State, and I think they win against Grand Canyon. But the Grand Canyon game, only a 7-point spread tonight, which is rather interesting. Illinois is favored, of course, but I definitely think that Michigan State is a win for Illinois. But Arizona, that's a whole other battle. That's a team who shoots the three really, really well. And Illinois struggled in their first game to do that. And they've got to be able to find that depth at the four somehow, some way. Or if they don't, it could be a long night for the Illini.
Better chance of a win. Last year against what, number one or number two ranked Gonzaga, when Illinois took them to the wire and nearly pulled off an upset, or against Arizona Sunday night at Tucson, the Gonzaga game, of course, on a neutral court at the Maui Invite, Arizona, of course, at McHale Center. Better chance for a win. I know they lost.
I'm going to Arizona.
Gonzaga. Yeah, I would
Arizona
agree.
I think Arizona as well. I think that's the logical choice there, just because this Illinois basketball team is much more talented than what they were last year. And Arizona is much less talented than where Gonzaga was last year. So I don't think Illinois basketball is that far apart talent-wise from where Arizona is at all. It just comes down to execution. It's a road game. It's tougher. It's new guys. Can Georgie get back on track? All of these different things. I do think, though, that opener against Nicholls State could sour us a little bit and make us down on Illinois basketball this weekend. And it wouldn't shock me at all if they get some things cleaned up and come out with a little bit of an edge on the road this week.
Is it fair to say that both Grand Canyon, they're missing a lot of guys. They have hardly any depth. A couple of the transfers they thought would be key players for them this year, not there. So I'm not anywhere putting Grand Canyon close to what Illinois is in terms of talent this year. But is it fair to assume, after they lost to an NAIA team in Davenport, the name of the team, I didn't even know that was a school.
They're actually really good. A Division II, one of the best Division II programs. But still, your point remains. You don't lose to those teams.
Right. So it's fair that both of these schools, Illinois and Grand Canyon, kind of have a chance to just say, okay, let's wipe the slate clean. Let's start over tonight. Now, the good news is for Illinois, you can wipe that slate clean with a victory, right? You're 1-0, even though you had to go overtime against Nicholls State and win 78-70. Grand Canyon didn't get a victory against Davenport, but they looked bad. So I think for both schools, for both programs, I think tonight is a chance to kind of say, all right, we kind of got that, you know, bad one out of the way. Let's get rolling.
Illinois has got to play a composed game of basketball. 23 turnovers won't get the job done on the road in this ruckus environment. I don't care who you play. That Grand Canyon atmosphere is going to be intense for the Illini.
And they want to win this. Yes. This is a big game for them.
And this is a team in Illinois who doesn't have the best chemistry right now. When you have a lot of guys figuring out what their roles are on this team, Georgie's still figuring things out with Kofi.
Big time.
The guard play still has to be figured out whenever Andres, Trent, and Io are on the court together. So there's a lot of chemistry issues that can unravel a team, especially in a road environment like you have at Grand Canyon.
I think it's funny because you brought up, well, Grand Canyon's not very deep. I don't know if Illinois is very deep either. Because after you saw Demonte Williams, after you saw Kipper Nichols, you go, I mean, can you really trust these guys?
Right.
It's clear that Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk is going to be a good player, I think, in the future. But you don't know what you're going to get from him now. So I think that depth-wise, these teams are a lot more similar than they are different. And I don't think Illinois has a big depth advantage here. So it really does come down to, one, can Illinois play clean? But two, can they bully Grand Canyon inside? Because Grand Canyon is not big.
No.
They're not aggressive. And you went out and got the biggest player in the class of 2019 and Kofi Coburn, use him. I agree. He's playing at an elite level right now, and we back-to-back double-doubles, one in exhibition, one in the first game. I think he could have a really big game tonight. I'd love to see Illinois run some offense through him tonight.
We've got to get Georgie back to a level where he's like – where he was against Xavier Tillman, where he was against Rui Hachimura. He went eye-to-eye with those guys, didn't blink, and it felt like in Nicholls State he went soft. And we cannot have soft Georgie against Grand Canyon or Arizona. If that's the case, then Georgie's going to cost you, and you might have to play Alan Griffin down the stretch, and that's going to be a dangerous proposition for Illinois.
And it may be Georgie adjusting, kind of like you said. You know, he may be trying to figure out, all right, what kind of a game do I play? If we have a true five with Kofi who brings power and brings size, do I then need to adjust more to a four? And, you know, he hits the two threes, obviously, against Nicholls State. That's good. Although I'd rather Georgie be doing his crazy.
You want to see that high low, right?
Absolutely, working underneath. So it may be just it may be as simple as what you said. Maybe he's adjusting to it. There's a lot swimming in his head right now. Maybe he figures that out.
Well, I think a big thing that we have to remember is that last year Georgie was the unknown, and so he comes in and he has the advantage because he's the unknown and he's going out. Now Georgie is a very known. Everybody knows Georgie Bashanishvili's name, and sometimes I think that it's easy after you have a lot of success as a freshman to go in as a sophomore and go, okay, everything's going to be just the same, and I'm just going to even be better. Well, no, because teams are now adjusting to you. And so if anything, your sophomore year gets harder. That's why there's a thing called a sophomore slump. So I think that that's where Georgie might be struggling a little bit. And again, it's one game, and it was just one exhibition. But you need to see him start to find that a little bit and find the fire that he had last year. And find the, you know, playing with a chip on your shoulder. I'm the 376th recruit in the nation, and I'd like to see that type of Georgie come back. Not the Georgie that goes, hey, I broke the record. I broke Deion Thomas's record for most points in a single game. You know what I mean? That's the type of guy I want to see.
They know his name. They don't know how to say it. I mean, that's his only advantage this sophomore year is they still don't know how to say his name. I think one guy that's going to step up, I know we're jumping ahead here, but we can do that. We're in the media. We can do that. We're fans. So I'm already jumping to Arizona on Sunday. I think a guy that shows up in that game big time is Io. And I don't think that it's just Io saying, all right, it's finally a big game. I'm going to finally show up. I think Io will definitely show up all season. I bet he goes into that one knowing, you know what, this is a good chance for me to make a mark heading into this season to the NBA scouts against an Arizona team that's got a couple of guys that could be drafted right around him in the first round of the NBA draft. I think Io shows up big time.
Nico Mannion versus Io DeSumo is this matchup that everybody's been circling from the beginning. NBA draft evaluators have circled this game too. And we know that Io steps up in big time games. So I do agree with you, Lon. I think that could be another breakout performance for him. I think a guy that gets back on track this weekend is Trent Frazier too.
Yeah.
There are not going to be very many games where Trent goes 0-for-9 from the field and 0-for-6 from 3.
I hope not.
Part of that was the fact that Illinois' offense was really out of sync and he wasn't getting some of the looks that he's used to getting. So I think that offense will start to come back into play when you don't play an aggressive defense like Nicholls State. You know what I mean? Nicholls State was so aggressive. I don't think you'll see that from Grand Canyon, Arizona. And that could lead for Trent to come back. Because, listen, Illinois is not going to win many games and Trent Frazier scores 4 points this year. They got away with it against Nicholls State. I think he bounces back this weekend and gets back to being that double-digit, you know, number two scorer that Illinois absolutely needs.
Max in Urbana says, streaming service Fubo has Pac-12 Network. I don't even know what that is.
It's a really cool service. I don't use it, but I know it's really cool.
Is that like Hulu or something?
Kind of similar.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of different things. I think you should get YouTube TV. I think that could be a really good thing for you.
They don't have Pac-12 Network.
They don't have Pac-12 Network, but they do have everything else.
I'm almost ready to just go back to the three channels.
ABC, NBC, CBS.
Wait, you mean you're not going to get Disney Plus when that comes out?
No. Like at 11 p.m. it just shut down. And it was just it's like night.
Well,
night.
You can go back to getting the scores from The Wire like you did back in the day. How about you do that?
That's
you
exactly might like right. That. I like this hypothetical from a 217. Hypothetical question. If Illinois were only to win one of the three games this weekend, which would you want it to be? Now, before you automatically answer that, because I know in your heads, I think I know the answer. And I think that game happens tomorrow. However, if Illinois could only win one of these three games, let's go through each little situation here. If you lose to Grand Canyon knowing that you don't have many non-conference wins ahead of you that could really impress.
Panic level 1,000.
Big
for
time.
Fans.
So I think if you lost tonight, then that would be a horrible loss. I've told Piper this. I think you guys would agree. for this year for Illinois, last year it was a chance to win some games and have some great wins on your resume. I don't know that that's the case this year. I'm not saying that Brad Underwood is ducking teams because he proved it last year that he'll play anybody. Sometimes it's just you schedule these games and teams aren't quite as good as they were. I mean, Nicholls State wasn't expecting to be not expected to be good at all, and you barely beat them. So you have to avoid bad losses. So there's number one. Number two, you've got an Illinois team that still has Northwestern on the schedule at home. But are you putting all your eggs in that basket against a Northwestern team that's not very good, but you know they would love anything? There's nothing more they would love than to come down here with Illinois sitting at five wins and beat you and stop you from going to a bowl. And, of course, you've got Arizona on Sunday, which, nationally ranked team, I'm not sure it damages you that much. However, if you win that game Sunday, boom, you've now chalked up the biggest win you're going to have in the non-conference, the biggest win you're going to have a chance to have in the non-conference. I don't think any other team is going to get to that level that Arizona is with what Illinois plays the rest of this non-conference. So knowing those three things, which do you choose? In a weird way, and I know it would set off panic like you said, Austin, in a weird way, I would, if I could only choose one, I think it's tomorrow against Michigan State. I'd love to see that Illinois football team go on the road, win a six game, become bowl eligible, stay hungry, who knows against Iowa, probably not going to happen there, and then a chance to win seven games against, you know, with a win over Northwestern would be huge. So I'll go to you guys. What would you say?
I think that that's a good call by you to say that Michigan State would be the one you pick because there's more long-term, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like aspiration?
Long-term ramifications.
If that win happens, because now you're 6-4, now you're going to a bowl game, now you have a chance to really sell the recruits. Listen, if Illinois basketball goes 0-2 on the road this weekend, they're 1-2. It sucks.
Right.
I get it. But you have a long year, you can get back on track, and you'd have so many opportunities. And let's be honest, Illinois and Florida State are the only two teams that are going on the road for two games in the first week of the season.
That's awesome.
So you're sending a resume to the NCAA saying, hey, look it. I got two road games already right away, so they can't mess with you about strength of schedule. So I agree with you. I think Michigan State tomorrow, if you only need one, how about we get three? But if we only need one, Michigan State would be a really big win because I think you're seeing Illinois football have their, okay, now we're really officially about to take a really big leap in the next couple
I've
years.
Got a scary – I want you to answer, Austin. I got a scary thing to explain about that Illinois-Michigan State game. It's just a Lante thought, which is always a derailed thought. It's always one of those where it's like, uh-oh, Tay's thinking. My mom has told me since birth, you get in trouble when you think. Austin, which game would you win? Would you pick if you could only win one this weekend?
I would definitely choose the Michigan State game because you're making a bowl game, and that's setting an example for the 2021 recruits, like that Mookie Cooper of 2021, whoever that kid can be, or the A.J. Henning of 2021.
Right.
You're going to be able to land those kind of kids because you've made a bowl game. You have actual written down facts that, hey, we're a bowl team. You don't have to hope and pray that this is going to work out. Like, you actually have physical thing that says we're a bowl team, and that's going to help you out in the recruiting living room of these kids. And when you actually have that proof, I think that the sky's the limit for what this program can be.
And who knows what attendance will be for that Thanksgiving weekend game against Northwestern. I mean, boys, I was there with WAND to cover when they won the Big Ten Championship in 2001 against Northwestern on Thanksgiving weekend, and there it was half full. And you've got a team going for a Big Ten title, right? It was a little bit more than half full. So that just kind of scares me, that idea that it comes down to that game. As you can tell, I'm not exactly overly confident that they go to Iowa City and win. But listen, I think if Iowa was ever ripe for the taking, this may be the season for that. All right, here's what scares me. Here's where you got to walk me off the cliff. I know you upset Wisconsin. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from Illinois for that. The credit goes to Illinois. You did it. You made that happen. However, in that game, you weren't inside the, what do you call that? My goodness. The red zone once. You were not inside the red zone one time against Wisconsin, yet you still won a game. You won it on a last second field goal. Then you go to Purdue and Mother Nature helped you out immensely with regards to taking the pass out of Purdue, which is what they do. Then you've got Rutgers, and you were tied at half, and Rutgers is bad, and you could probably not even have a quarterback and beat Rutgers this year. That's how bad they are, right? So now you got Michigan State on the road. You can't take away the fact that you beat Wisconsin, and I'm not taking that away. But is there part of me that thinks, all right, and I'm one of those guys, I'm not the Rich Herron of the world that says you can't get too high, you can't get too low. I think as fans, we get really high, whereas we were really, really low before that Wisconsin game. Nobody thought Illinois had a chance to beat Wisconsin except the guys in that room, that locker room. Now all of a sudden, Illinois fans are sitting there thinking, ah, we got this, man. We can go to East Lansing and knock off Michigan State. A team that has, you know, is only 4-4, but yet their last three losses are against powerhouse teams with regards to Penn State, Ohio State, and what was the other? Wisconsin.
Yes.
Who handled them pretty easily.
38-0.
So, yeah, which in tune, I should make me feel better in the fact that we beat Wisconsin. There's part of me that though that this that's scared in thinking, is it going to happen to where tomorrow, all of a sudden, all the ugly warts pop up and Illinois, you know, not that Michigan State has a run game to gash you, but they've got quick hitters with Lewerke. Is it all of a sudden where Michigan State just jumps on top of you early? You can't get anything going on offense. And what would a loss do for our mindset right. If you're an Illinois fan?
I think it's fair. I think okay. What you're saying is fair. Here's my counteraction to this. The Michigan State is not as healthy as you are.
Good call.
I think that's one big thing. Michigan State is losing their All-American linebacker. That's another really big thing and really big part of their defense. I get it. Michigan State's quarterback, Brian Lewerke, is probably a better, more trusted quarterback than Brandon Peters.
Sure.
Brandon Peters hasn't completed more than 9 passes in any Big Ten game this year. Lewerke has won a lot of football games throughout his last 3 years. But this offense is just not very good, and their offensive line is really, really bad.
Good enough.
I think that those are all of the different things that you can hear. I think Illinois has a big advantage in special teams. They're 10th in the country in ESPN's special teams efficiency rankings. Michigan State is 97th, I want to say. They're 100th. You have a big, big advantage there. So I understand that. Illinois has gotten a lot of good luck in the last little bit. The win against Wisconsin was fluky. A lot of fluky things happened. But I think tomorrow what you're going to see is that the roster that Michigan State has and the roster that Illinois has, where in the years past Michigan State has a clear advantage, I think they're closer to 50-50.
Okay.
I think it's a lot closer than we think now with the talent that you're starting to see. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan wins that game at home. Vegas wouldn't be surprised either. Michigan State's a 14.5 point favorite. But I think you're a lot closer than what you think, and I think it'll be a competitive game into the fourth quarter. Can Illinois get it done for a fourth game in a row? We'll find out.
And by the way, Austin, I'm still confident.
Yes.
Like, I pose that question, but I'm not going to lie to people on the radio. I do let the negativity or the pessimistic side of me creep in when it comes to that. But going into this game tomorrow, I'm optimistic as anyone that Illinois can win this.
You follow me on Twitter. I'm normally a pessimist whenever it comes to Cubs baseball. But I look at this Illini game, and I'm not very pessimistic because you look at what Illinois' defense has with Tony Adams playing cornerback, Stanley Green at safety, and Sidney Brown playing really well. Whenever Illinois was giving up those huge chunk plays in the very beginning of the season, there was a lot of injuries on the defense. There was a lot of guys playing out of position. This is what your healthy starting rotation looks like as your defense. So that's what's giving me a lot of hope for this game, is that this defense isn't going to just give up these chunk plays, because you do have Tony Adams, who's playing more on instinct rather than being like, oh no, I'm the last line of defense. I have to think about everything that goes on as a safety. He's playing cornerback. He's playing more aggressive, and I like this linebacker crew. I've said it all week long that these linebackers are probably key to this game for Illinois. And offensively, I like Donnie Navarro as that crisp route runner offensively, and Josh Imatorpebe, I think, is going to have 2 touchdowns in this game. I think that he's going to be a key factor. I just buy everything about this Illinois team going up against this tough defense in Michigan State. Remember, Wisconsin was the number one defense in the country, and you were able to do
Michigan
what you did against
15.
Them. Yes, so I'm not scared of this Michigan State defense, as odd as that sounds. They are not Ohio State.
And listen, if Illinois defense does what they've done all year and take the ball away 2 or 3 times, you're in this game.
Amen. Amen. Can that continue? That's a question that, you know, I mean, you lead the nation. You're number one in the nation. So there's no reason. I mean, that's a trend.
Right. This is coaching. This is coaching. This is what you do. This is what you practice for. They punch the ball out every single day. They work on those interceptions. This is a whole mindset. So it's not a fluke, but there is going to be one game where Illinois doesn't get any turnovers because, you know what, Brian Lewerke is really good. A quarterback that you play next week doesn't make that one big mistake. Yep. So I think that it's going to happen at some point. But it might not happen tomorrow because Lewerke's not that great.
Lance, good call, Lance. Lance and Newman, 2001 from Newman. He's not. I know him. 2001 was actually on Thanksgiving Day. That's right. Thank you. I remember that because I think my parents and I think we ate after the game. After I had everything done, we grabbed a quick turkey after that game. So that's true. That could help. Jim says, almost to Hoopston. I'm picking tomorrow's game. Go Illini. All right. So I think he's picking Illinois would be that. Greg says, of the three football games left, I want to beat Iowa after they pounded our
bleep
butts last year. I know that wasn't the question. That's good, Greg. Jim says, I'm sorry, I just got to you, Jim. 712 says, if you discuss the difference between Iowa and Wisconsin, they seem very similar to me, except Iowa is not as good. Depending on how Illinois looked this weekend, I think they have a great shot at 8-4. I agree. I don't want to jump to Iowa, though, yet. So some good ones coming in here. Mike and Sador says this could be a game in the trenches. Isaac pointed out that the offensive line for Michigan State's not very good. The defensive line for Michigan State, on the other hand,
scary.
Really good.
Yeah, let's see how Illinois does against this Michigan State defensive line before we go into Iowa thinking we're a little bit more confident.
And we need to see Brandon Peters.
Yes.
Make some plays. Not just a couple plays late in the fourth quarter.
He made him against Wisconsin when you needed it.
Like two or three throws.
Yep.
I need like 12 tomorrow. Yep.
That's fair enough. And you know what? Again, the position that we always forget, this Illinois offensive line's good. And I always say, you know, it's the one position that we never talk about, and they probably are like, that's fine. You don't have to talk about us. We don't care. I bet for these guys, they're sitting there reading all this stuff about Michigan State. Oh, they got a great defensive line. Oh, they're studs on the defense. And they are. They proved it last year. They're showing it again this year. I bet this offensive line for Illinois comes out with a little chip saying, you know what, we're pretty stinking good ourselves. And no injuries.
They are the second best Big Ten West offensive line.
That's awesome.
I think Wisconsin's number one with a bullet. I think Illinois' offensive line has two potential pros in Palcheski and Lowe and maybe even Green. Maybe three pros on this Illinois offensive line.
And Doug Kramer's the number one center in PFF.
Isn't that crazy?
So, I mean, this offensive line is so talented. They're not Ohio State. They're not Wisconsin, but they're in the solid next tier. So that's why, again, I'm not scared of this Michigan State defensive line. Like, I'm just not.
Those four guys you just mentioned, all back next year.
Yes.
All back next year. Unless they go pro for some reason, but let's don't.
Yeah, I don't foresee that happening. And all four of those guys combined, they're going to have over 125 starts. That's
incredible.
A Wisconsin offensive line.
That's
right?
True. That's exactly right. A Pettibone. Have we ever figured out how you say
Pettibone.
Pettibone is the only one.
And you got Vertus Brown that you think can be pretty good and replace him.
Verdarian Lowe's okay. He left the game right against Rutgers.
He's fine. Yes,
he's
he
fine.
Left the game and came right back
stinger.
In a couple plays later. Yeah, it was something weird with his wrist. He was just holding his wrist and came right back in.
A stinger. That's pretty much what I played with my whole life. Because I wasn't good at anything, so I'm just assuming that's my excuse.
Right.
Most of my career athletically was played with a stinger. It was a four-year stinger. I couldn't ever really score. I couldn't putt. I couldn't do any of that. All right, we got to take a break. We're long, but that was a great first segment. I think we just concluded that if we had to get one win, it was Michigan State, and we all kind of, because I never made my prediction, I think we're going to win 2 of 3, Illinois, 2 of 3. I think tonight, and I think tomorrow. I don't know that you'll beat Arizona Sunday, but I'll be happy to come in Monday and say, well, I was wrong on that, and I'm glad.
Monday shows for the Jeremy Warner Show and the Drive if Illinois is 3-0.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
Ranked football or ranked basketball team, bowl-eligible football team.
How fun would that be? How fun would that be? Let's let it happen first. All right, again, Mike Carpenter's going to pop in. Old Carp's going to join us at 5:30 from the 200 level. We'll talk to him. We've got Trev's ticket. We'll do that next hour. And coming up next, joining us from Arizona, he was texting me last night, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Pipes goes, oh, you know what? I just realized we're an hour behind you. I apologize. I'm like, you're good, but I am going to bed, so do not send another text. Derek Piper is out there covering the game for IlliniInquirer.com and The Drive. We'll talk to him next about both games. We can look ahead with him. Grand Canyon tonight and Arizona on Sunday. We'll do it next. If you want to follow us, 93.5. It's at 93.5 The Drive on Twitter and then all the platforms that you young kids know that you can stream us. Is that fair enough?
Spotify, Apple, everything.
Stitcher.
And Hulu or Fobo. Fubo. Fubo.
The Drive on Hulu.
All right. And you can weigh in at 359-2255 and watch us on YouTube. We're on right now. The contrasting colors of Austin's brand new orange and my cardinal red does not look good. It's Illinois Wisconsin battling here.
That's right.
That's great. It is The Drive.
The smartest way to do your homework. SK Exteriors, fencing, roofing, siding, and more. license number 10405412.
Ready? Okay. Give me an S. S. Give me an O. O. Give me an S. S. Give me an O. O. What's that spell?
So-so.
Are we gonna win?
A lot of people play like we cheer.
Just okay is not okay. Whether it's cheerleaders or your wireless network, AT&T is America's best wireless network. Best network based on GWS 1 score September 2019.
Little Caesar's thin crust pizza is so loaded with cheese and pepperoni you can't even see the crust. And if you ever want to see it again, listen very carefully. Bring $6.49 in unmarked bills or marked bills or coins or just a credit or debit card to Little Caesar's. Come alone and bring your friends or family. Bring everyone. Get a Little Caesar's large thin crust pizza with extra cheese and the most pepperoni, all at the nation's best price of just $6.49.
Pizza, pizza.
Top four national pizza chains. Extra most bestest thin crust pepperoni pizza versus large round one topping thin crust pepperoni pizza. Everyday standard menu prices at participating locations plus tax.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
He's not going to own this thing. He hasn't owned anything yet. He plays the victim in everything. So if you and a team will sign him, there is no team that's going to wait till he takes ownership of everything and say, okay, now we'll sign him. You're going to sign him knowing everything that comes along with him. And if you don't, that's on you. But make no mistake, somebody will sign him. And when you do, you have to know everything that comes along with it. He'll play the victim role. It's always everybody's against me. Why am I the one being persecuted? That's not, if it changes, great.
Yes.
But is anybody expecting that to change? No. He is going to get a shot somewhere if he wants one.
All he needs to say is do that classic line. Well, that's in my rear view. Now I got a clear view.
Yeah.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo Monday morning on ESPN Radio.
Was the holiday season, and in your garage, a brand new John Deere. That's not a mirage. With neighbors admiring your shiny new ride, it's your year for a Deere to fill you with pride. So if additional offers are what you desire, see our low rates before they expire. Now start up your engines and drive out of sight. New John Deere equipment for all, and to all a good night. Make it your year for a Deere. See your John Deere dealer today to discover more amazing deals and attractive financing offers.
It's time for some straight.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out. No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable. But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms. Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Just okay is not okay. Whether it's cheerleaders or your wireless network, AT&T is America's best wireless network. Best network based on GWS 1 score September 2019.
Hello, this is Shane Coulter from Country Arbor's Nursery. In 1865, my great-great-grandfather, Robert Blaine Coulter, came to Central Illinois with dreams of growing plants for a living. Five generations and 144 years later, I'm proud to say we're still growing plants for Central Illinois. We're still a business where you can come out to the store and see the same faces you've seen for decades, where you know the employees by name. If you had our landscape crew come out 20 years ago and build your patio or plant your trees, we're the place they're talking about when they say check with your local nursery. Country Arbors also has mulches, stone, and rock. You can find out more information about our history at countryarbors.com.
This Mettler tip is brought to you by Matthew Gordon, Doctor of Physical Therapy with Mettler Center. What's the most important part of working out?
Reps, sets, intensity, duration. These are all important factors, but I believe the most important factor is form. If you are doing the exercise wrong, nothing else matters. And in fact, you may even be putting yourself at risk for injuries. So perfect your form first, because form is always king.
Do you have a question for a physical therapist? Go to MettlerCenter.com and click Ask an Expert.
Come experience Naya Restaurant in Champaign. Chef Dad Morrow talks about the menu.
There's a few mozzarella dishes, burrata, which is a fantastic kind of version of mozzarella. There's mozzarella bufala, so we get a lot of stuff brought in weekly just from Italy. I like to use very authentic ingredients. We also have this really cool Japanese Robata grill, which is a high-heat skewer grill, so we can put things on skewers. So we've got a great chicken skewer, a ribeye skewer. Come in, get a little snack, grab a glass of wine.
See the menu at NayaRestaurants.com or experience it for yourself at 212 East Green Street, Champaign.
Looking for a cool way to get a new home comfort system without breaking the bank? The Advantage program from Chief Bauer Service Experts gets you a high-quality home comfort system for one low monthly rate. There's no money down, never a charge for repairs, and seasonal tune-ups are free. Right now, get a new home comfort system as low as $99 a month and no additional charges ever. Call Chief Bauer Service Experts today at 866-EXPERTS or visit chiefbauer.com.
For expert service guaranteed, call 866-EXPERTS.
See website for license details.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Dubnyk. Yep, Cliff and Urbana. You remember that game well, don't you? Cliff had to drive home. On the way home, this was a Blues playoff game. I got Taco Bell and McDonald's between St. Louis and Philo.
So where did you stop? And what did you order?
I got Taco Bell in Troy,
right,
which is right outside.
No, I was more meaning where did you stop to use the restroom after having both of those things?
Well, then I fell asleep.
Oh, okay.
So we get home, and Cliff's like, hey, we're home, buddy. And I'm like, well, that was a great trip for me. He goes, yeah, you exceeded my expectations on that one. All right, it is The Drive. Lante, Austin Berkland, and Isaac Trotter fiddling with his microphone, so I've shut it off. We always do things wrong here. Like, we get a break for 5 minutes. That's when we should adjust things on our microphone. But I'm like you. I don't do it until we come back on the air, and I'm like, sorry, I had 5 minutes to do that, but we just sat here and talked. Derek Piper is in Arizona. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good, Lon. Driving over to the arena right now. It's sunny and 82, and there's palm trees and mountains. So how you doing?
Have I lost you as a co-host? Are you going to move to Arizona?
No, but we should come out here more often. You know, you got Reese's Flyers, Lucas, and Arizona Cardinals, but we got to start making trips together.
I agree. It's a lot of reasons to be out there. It's Parents Weekend at Arizona State. Illinois actually practiced at Arizona State, right? How did that go yesterday?
They did, yeah. And Arizona State is in China, I believe, to have a game over there. So Illinois got to take over their facility and get some work done. And I'm sure they were testing out their sound systems over there, funneling it down, because it's going to be really loud tonight at Grand Canyon.
Yeah, we have a big-time matchup against Grand Canyon tonight. I say that because it is on the first game on the road here for the Illini. What challenges specifically does Grand Canyon bring for the Illini?
First of all, it's the environment, the crowd. And you look back at the comments that Rick Pitino made when they played there in 2016. They were at Louisville with a top 15 team, and they're down at halftime. And he said that it was the toughest place that he's ever taken a team to play, includes Duke and Kentucky and all of that. And I think that for a team, in particular in Illinois, that offensively has not run their stuff very well, they've been loose with the ball and turned it over. You wonder if the noise or just the excitement in the building speeds them up and maybe they lose focus. With Grand Canyon in particular, this is a team, but let's be honest, to get out of the way, lost to a D2 squad on Tuesday in Davenport, not too impressive. Two of their main contributors are Jalen Fisher, transfer from TCU, didn't get a waiver, and then they had another forward who was judged to be a starter, and he's academically ineligible. So, but you look at Carlos Johnson, who's a 6'4", really strong and physical guard, threw as many fouls as anybody in the WAC last year. So, I'm looking for him to, you know, when you look in the second half, Illinois' defense got burned off the dribble. And I think that they'll try to use ball screens to get him into the lane and try to draw fouls on Kofi or you know, obviously get there and score. And then also they have a pick and pop five, and that's going to be very interesting to see how Kofi defends that. And if Underwood elects to play zone against a team that was 2-for-19 from three on Tuesday.
Derek, when you look at this Grand Canyon team, they're not very deep.
So how big is it, or how important is it for Illinois to get Kofi and Georgie involved close to the rim, inside, use that size, brute size advantage, and maybe get some of these, you know, some of these Grand Canyon front court players in foul trouble just because the depth just isn't there? How big is that key tonight for Illinois?
Yeah, I would love to see a lot of the high level action. I think be involved the blocker struggled there so far, but not only for his confidence, it's still a guy that at the end of the day, and we talked before I left town about the struggles that he's going through, but still he's someone that earns the benefit of the doubt, at least being early on in the season. And as you mentioned, their big man, Alessandro Laver, he's 6'10", and if he is somehow in foul trouble, they don't have a whole lot of hype behind him. Their four man is only 6'7", so you can get some post-ups with Georgie on him. I would look to do that. And then, yeah, this is a team that does not have a deep bench. And then, of course, we can turn around and talk about how deep is Illinois' bench, actually. But that is something that you would look for and hope that on the other side for Illinois is, from a depth perspective, you have the advantage that the Tipper or DeMonte or Bossman can help you out, and obviously Alan Griffin as well.
Derek, I want to stay on that real quick, and I want to speak literally. I don't think Grand Canyon literally has any depth. I mean, because they don't have a couple of transfers, as they told us the other day. Richard Obert said, you know, they're missing a couple of guys they thought they would have on the team. So I don't know that this is a team, honestly, that can even put in 7, 8, or 9 guys, let's say maybe 7. But on Illinois side, now, I'm not speaking literally. They do have depth with regards to 9 guys probably that can play. How big, and not just for this guy, I'm talking macro here. How big is it going to be for Illinois to get guys like DeMonte Rowland, to get guys like Kipper, you know, these guys off the bench? How big is that going to be? Obviously big, but is that something that's going to slowly happen, or do you think they could just maybe come out in a game like tonight or in a game Sunday against Arizona and just boom, and then all of a sudden now they feel good going forward?
Yeah, I think it's very important. It's kind of an interesting dynamic when you think about it, is you lean heavily on your starting five. You feel really good about that group. That, as far as 1 through 5, you put it up against most anybody or anybody in the Big Ten. And you're going to have to play your bench, obviously, sometimes. But is 16, 20 minutes for DeMonte, is that a value to you? You know, he's fresh, and you might stay fresher, but if he's not willing to shoot threes, or if he's not helping you offensively, do you lean the other way? I definitely think that Alan Griffin has to play more. And Underwood blamed himself after the game and said, you know, look, I got to get him more minutes. He played well against Nicholls State. So I would look at him in particular to get more opportunities. Somebody at the four is going to have to do it, because that's another situation where, you know, you can't play Georgie and Kofi the entire game. Somebody else is going to have to step up there. And, yeah, ideally – someone builds some confidence tonight. Someone gets it going and figures it out, and you're going into Arizona, because that's also a factor, is fatigue. If you get into a battle tonight and you've got to play 48 hours later and Arizona's sitting at home, you know, right now getting rested up, that's going to be very interesting to watch. And obviously, your ideal scenario is, you know, DeMonte is able to take a step forward. Kipper sees a couple shots go down, and really just want them to be solid. And that's all I'm really asking for veterans like that.
23 turnovers in the first game for the Illini. What was the key factor in your mind on why there were so many turnovers in that Nicholls State game, and how can the Illini alleviate some of those issues in this Grand Canyon, and even more importantly, against Arizona, who only had 7 turnovers in their first game of the season? So, like, how does Illinois alleviate the turnover issue that they had?
They were sloppy. They really were. And I know that you can blame or pinpoint and say Nicholls State, that, you know, they're playing high pressure denial defense, and their idea is to take away your offense, at least as far as your set and what you want to do. And they're also looking to force turnovers. But you can't give them all the credit. Illinois should have executed much better. They turned it over against Lewis, who, you know, should not be giving you problems. It just looks like the offense in general is lagging, and they're not getting into their offense. They're not running it with good ball movement or spacing. And that's something that obviously they've spent the last couple of days trying to clean up. But There have been some very poor decisions across the board, whether it's, you know, Io is dribbled into traffic and the three guys when there's been openings on the wing, stick it out. And then, you know, a number of players, whether it's Kipper or Georgie, have tried to force the issue, dumping it down inside to Kofi. Even Kofi in that game against Nicholls State finally saw a double team coming, and he didn't handle it well. He tried to throw a bounce pass in the lane, across the lane to Georgie, and that got swiped. So there really are a number of issues that have led to turnovers. I'm sure those have been addressed in film, and you're hoping that, you know, you go in. Got a couple of days to get ready, and they'll be more sound tonight, because that's the last thing you want is turning the ball over and letting GCU get out in transition and let that roof blow off in there.
Derek, I know that it's so easy to get caught up in what you see in a couple games. So the exhibition against Lewis wasn't great. Then the finish against Nicholls State wasn't good either. But a part of me goes, maybe we swung on the pendulum a little bit too far to the negative side, and this is still a really talented team. Do you expect Illinois to come out tonight and punch Grand Canyon in the mouth and play a lot cleaner basketball and kind of showcase how good they really can be?
I think they can. They're very capable. I think, and I wrote this in my Feldenrum article, that for as ugly as that, particularly down the stretch against Nicholls State, and Illinois, if they would have lost, they deserved to lose in that game. You know, this can still be the team that we all thought it was going to be, or a lot of people thought it was going to be in the offseason. Still a team that's very talented. You know, there's been some bright spots. Andres Felice, Kofi, as good as he's played in the exhibition in Nicholls State. And then also, again, Illinois is not the only team in the country that's not playing their best brand of basketball right
sure.
now. It's early November, and that happened. On the flip side, given their roster continuity, I know take away some of that because Georgie's playing a different position, but they only played two newcomers against Nicholls State. Your guard trio of Io and Trent and Andres, they've played together. They've played a lot together. So this should be a team that is better suited to play well early. They can show that tonight. They can erase a good amount of doubts that were there against Nicholls State. And I think that obviously, again, that's what they're shooting for. And I think that on paper, this is clearly the better team. Illinois is clearly
sure.
the better team, and I still expect good things from this team. So hopefully they show up and do it tonight.
Derek Piper working on a tan out in Arizona, getting ready to cover Grand Canyon in Illinois. Let's jump ahead to Sunday because we can do that. Before we get nitty-gritty with Arizona, I'll let the other guys in the room get nitty-gritty because I don't know them yet. I know this. Illinois will be a team that just played Friday night and then has to play Sunday night after traveling 2 hours south from Friday night's game. And, of course, after flying 3 hours out west to a different time zone, not that it's that big of a deal. For these kids especially, it's not. And for Derek Piper last night, it was not because he kept keeping me up until midnight, texting me, and then all of a sudden realizing that it's midnight here. I'm kidding. But Arizona will be rested. They will have only played one time and they come into this game. So does that concern you with Illinois playing tonight and then playing Sunday? And I've got another one on Grand Canyon, but I'll save it. So what about that with regards to playing Friday and then Sunday, or is this fine for these guys?
It's something we'll probably think about and we'll have a better gauge on at the end of this game against Grand Canyon, because if it is a fight to the final minutes and, you know, you're just dog tired and you had to give everything you had just to get out of that place with a win, which you'd be happy with. You'd be happy with finding a way to win tonight, however that happens. But if that is the situation, then I think you start to wonder, like, how quickly can this team bounce back? That's a quick turn. I do think the fact that they got out here on Wednesday, have gotten acclimated, you know, I can tell you firsthand, this is not the flight to Italy. You know, 3 hours on the plane is not the 13 hours in Italy. So I felt a lot better about that. And then, you know, to get a practice at Arizona State to kind of get comfortable and all that. So, and then also it makes you think about the Big Ten tournament. That's what comes to mind for me is if Illinois plays well tonight, then maybe it's a good thing they have a quick turnaround. Maybe getting right back out there, and Arizona hasn't played since earlier in the week. Maybe Illinois can turn that to their advantage, maybe ride some momentum and be like, we're ready to get back out there right away. So I think we'll have a better gauge of that after this game, but it is going to be interesting to monitor for sure.
You're going to see Iota Sumo versus Nico Mannion on Sunday and just the great guards that Arizona has. What challenges do the Arizona guards bring, and what Iota Sumo are we going to see against these top flight guards against Arizona?
Yeah, well, I know one thing about Io, that he's shown that the bigger the stage, the better he plays, and he loves the challenge of playing guards or particular matchups where there's a dispute of who's better. Or there's, you know, in high school and the AAU scene, it was always fun when someone was ranked higher than Io and Io was going to be going up against them. You knew that Io was going to play determined and usually play his best basketball. And, you know, I know that he's probably very aware that Nico is in mock drafts as Io. Some people, or maybe at this point in time, the majority of people have Nico going ahead of Io. I think that Io should play his best basketball. It's going to be a challenge, though, because Nico is a McDonald's All-American, fantastic feel. Some of the same things that we have said in recent week about Andre Curbelo. Nico Mannion is a phenomenal floor general and passer and all that. And him playing in ball screens against Illinois defense is going to be a major, major challenge. And they have around them a lot of athleticism. Josh Green is a freak athlete on the wing. And then Zeke Nagy, who is a top 50 big man and freshman out of Minnesota, had a big-time game in their season opener. He went over 20. So they definitely, very talented roster. They looked good in their opener. I know it was Northern Arizona, but that's a team that, just from a talent perspective, is pretty scary.
Derek, we got about a minute left, so just we'll keep this one shorter. But if you're flying back on Monday and Illinois is 3-0, what would this weekend kind of mean for Illinois if they're able to prove and go on the road and win two games on the road in tough environments? What would this do for their resume, and what would this do for Illinois basketball moving forward?
Well, you'd have the, if not a signature win, although I think you could probably call it that early on, and if you're winning on the road against a ranked team early in the season, this is the toughest challenge and your best chance for a game in the non-conference that really means something in March. And if you get that win, and then you have a very favorable setup the rest of the way in the non-conference, and then you got to play out Maryland in the middle of that, this team should be set up to have a lot of wins when the thick of Big Ten play starts in January. So the Missouri game, the Miami game at home, Illinois is going to be favored in a lot of games coming up. Of course, if they take care of business after that, you know, out here in Arizona. But if they come away 3-0, then, again, the hype train just keeps going, and this team is taking care of business. And I think they're capable. Sunday is gonna worry me a little bit, but we'll see.
Enjoy yourself, my friend. Stay out of trouble at El Jefe.
Will do, man. Yeah, I'll be watching the Illinois-Michigan State game tomorrow. Really excited about it. Good talking to you guys.
I bet, buddy. Thank you, Derek. Great stuff. Derek Piper checking in from the road in Phoenix right now as he gets set for the Illinois Grand Canyon game tonight. That's at 8 o'clock tip-off. Again, for you local listeners, if you're not listening on the stream, Channel 49 of Channel 3, et cetera. Channel 49, I guess that's like a sister station.
Yeah.
So they're going to be airing that game tonight. Excited for that, and that's big for them as well. All right, we got to get out of here for right now. Next hour, Trev's Ticket. We'll do a quick drive time. And Mike Carpenter is going to stop by at 5:30 from the 200 level. We'll talk to Carp. I know he's back, he's geeked and excited about this Illinois football team and what they're doing, and also about the Illinois basketball. So we'll touch base with him at 5:30. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.